Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who do think about you. Help us to move beyond the shallow thinking and ask the big questions. What will happen at the end of this life? Is there a God? And if there is, what does he want with me? What is my connection? Can I know him? Let us be people who think about these things, like what is right and what is wrong, and how is that standard set? I pray, Lord, that we would not be people who run to you merely to give you orders, but that you would help us to get an understanding of this relationship that you offer us, that we can know you and that you long to know us. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Well, we are going to continue our series tonight. You know, Westbridge does not just meet on Saturday night here. We meet Wednesday night as well. We take turns, and on these Wednesday nights, it will be the men meeting and the women meeting. On this week, it's actually the men's turn to meet. And the men, we meet, my Band of Brothers group, we meet at Panera, and we actually debrief on what we learned tonight. So what you will learn tonight, men, you have your outlines. Bring those Wednesday night. We'll go over this in a little more in-depth study. We also want to take this part of our service to give back to God a small portion of what God has given to us. And this is what those who consider Westbridge their church home do. If you are visiting with us, believe me, God is not interested in your money. He doesn't need your money. God has all the treasure he needs. But those who worship him and those who follow him, he says that we are to give back the first tenth, and we do that. So if you're with us tonight and you're visiting, please, let tonight be our gift to you. We're glad that you were able to get something to eat and enjoy our service with us. Those who consider Westbridge their home would take part in this as we continue our worship. So as the ushers come forward, we'll begin our study. Now, tonight, we'll finish up our study of Jehu, and we will end, or shall we say, we'll close out for now, the study of 2 Kings. Now, I know that we haven't finished the book, and we will return to it in the future. But after 20 sermons on the first 10 chapters of 2 Kings, I felt God wanted us to move to some new territory. So tonight will certainly be filled with murder and mayhem and lots of 2 Kings stuff. Yes, and then the next week, hopefully we'll get onto something nice like how to raise children. How's that? Something like that. Maybe more murder and mayhem. I forgot. Oh, you never know. You never know what you're going to get at Westbridge. And I believe we need to explore some other parts. So we're going to be heading there tonight. But tonight, 2 Kings, we're going to have a good study tonight. We're going to complete the story of Jehu. And Jehu was an Israelite warrior. He was a Jewish warrior. And he was called by God to become the new king. Jehu, he was called to be the new king of Israel and Judah. There's only one problem. There is a reigning king in Israel, and there's a reigning king in Judah, and there's an evil queen, and there's a whole dynasty under what they know as the Ahab dynasty. There's 70 children, and then there's also Baal worship going on. Well, Jehu receives a call from God and says, "You will clean up all of it, Jehu. You will do this. You will right Israel. You will right Judah, and you will make things right in Israel." So he had given, God gave Jehu really three big objectives. The first one was to remove the evil kings and the evil queen, Jezebel. And then the second objective was that he needed to eliminate anyone in the dynasty from rising up and taking the place in the evil dynasty of King Ahab. And we went through all those. And now we are on the third objective. Jehu now has to remove a religion from the entire nation. We can call it a religion. It really shouldn't be. It would be called a cult. And it is the cult of Baal worship. And Jehu's job is to go and wipe it out in Israel and Judah. Thank goodness God sent him a sidekick along the way, Jehonadab, who we studied as well. So we're going to read this section of the Bible. It's rather long. I did put it on the center screen for you so you can carry along with us. And we're going to see how Jehu actually carries out objective number three. So stay with me. Here we go. When Jehu arrived in Samaria, he killed everyone who was left there from Ahab's family, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Then Jehu called a meeting of all the people of the city and said to them, Ahab's worship of Baal was nothing compared to the way I am going to worship Baal. Therefore, summon all the prophets and the worshipers of Baal and call them together with all the priests. See to it that every single one of them comes, for I am going to offer a great sacrifice to Baal. Anyone who fails to come will be put to death. Jehu's cunning plan was to destroy all the Baal worshipers. Then Jehu ordered, prepare a solemn assembly to worship Baal. So they did. He sent messengers throughout all of Israel, summoning those who worshiped Baal. They all came. Not a single one remained behind. And they filled the temple of Baal from one end to the other. And Jehu, he instructed the keeper of the wardrobe, be sure that every worshiper of Baal wears one of these robes. So robes were given to them. Then Jehu went into the temple of Baal with Jehonadab, that's his sidekick. And Jehu said to the worshipers of Baal, make sure that no one who worships the Lord is here. Only those who worship Baal. So they were all inside the temple to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed 80 of his men outside the building and had warned them, if you let anyone escape, you will pay for it with your own life. As soon as Jehu had finished sacrificing the burnt offering, he commanded his guards and officers, go in and kill them all. Don't let a single one escape. So they killed them all with their swords. And the guards and officers dragged their bodies outside. Then Jehu's men went into the innermost fortress of the temple of Baal. They dragged out the sacred pillar used in the worship of Baal, and they burned it. They smashed the sacred pillar and wrecked the temple of Baal, converting it into a public toilet, as it remains to this day. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. I didn't make this up. In this way, Jehu destroyed every trace of Baal worship from Israel. How's that? I would read that to my children before I put them to bed when they were little. It's beautiful. They're scared of God to this day. No, excellent. That's the story. You can read it for yourself. 2 Kings chapter 10. We've already talked about how Baal worship was this horrible, sexually addictive experience. That's what Baal worship was. And it pulled in men by the droves. Now, certainly, some of these Baal worshipers were immigrants that had come over with evil Queen Jezebel. But many of these Baal worshipers were Israelites. Israelites who had abandoned God and embraced their new God of unobligated pleasure. Let's identify what the Bible is showing us, and then we're going to unpack this. Point number one tonight from this story. Rest assured, the other shoe will drop. Now, let me explain this. When I think about these Israelite men who had turned their back on God, they had embraced this vile cult, I think these men have fallen prey to a deception. They are deceived into thinking that their actions will have no consequence. And we actually read this verse last week in Galatians 6:7. It says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The deception these Israelite Baal worshipers had fallen prey to is that they can ignore God. That's a deception. They believed that they could insult God and that they can flip off God and have no ramifications or judgment from God for it. They are deceived into believing not only will the other shoe drop, there is no other shoe. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. These men are so caught up in and so addicted to their perversion that when Jehu promises the ultimate Baal party, not one stays away. Not one smells a trap. Not one can turn down the opportunity of getting a higher high. They are deceived into believing that they will never have to answer to God for their actions. Oh boy, were they wrong. Jehu had devised the perfect plan. The perfect plan to collect and gather every single Baal worshiper that he was ordered to find throughout the vast nation, and he has them mosey right up to his doorstep and right in to his mousetrap. Gang, our God is a God of love. That means he wants the best for us at his own expense. That's what love is, wanting the best for someone at your own expense. Our God is a God of grace. That means giving us what we don't deserve and not giving us what we do deserve. Our God is a God of patience. He's waited years and he waits decades, even millennia, for those who will come to him. He waits patiently. But our God is a God of judgment, a God who will reward. He will reward the righteous. That means those who do right. And he will avenge all those who oppose him. Rest assured, there is a second shoe, and it will drop. Gang, as I read this story, I couldn't help but be reminded of the two great judgments that God has informed us of that are coming in the future. If you're not familiar with these two great judgments, just thought I'd remind you of these tonight. This is the perfect time, I've felt, to be reminded of these two great judgments that are coming. Judgment number one, gang, that is coming, is in the last days. It's called the end times. The next big event that we're waiting for, that'll happen spiritually, really, is when God will remove all of the believers from the face of the earth. God is going to take every believer off the face of the earth. He's going to do that. And he's going to do it in an instant. We're going to be raised up, caught up into the air with him. It's called the rapture. Now, when that happens, all these believers, whether you and I are alive, we will be taken up to heaven, and there we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's your first judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what happens is, remember, this is only believers. Each of us will have his and her life rewarded. We will be rewarded by what we have done for God. Remember, this is only for those who have given their life to Jesus Christ, accepted him as their Savior, humbled themselves and said, I need you. That's who these people are. It says so in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then in 1 Colossians 3, it says this. But on the day of judgment, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. We're each builders. We used our lives to build for the kingdom of God. And our works are going to be tried by fire. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Now, he's going to start talking about somebody who didn't do nothing, right? If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. If you've done something for God, it says even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, will be rewarded. Every single thing was given on a hospitality table will be rewarded, along with other things. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved. Remember, this is a believer. He didn't do nothing, nothing of value for God. But the builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Now, although it is tremendously serious with eternal ramifications, the judgment seat of Christ is not a place or a time when the Lord will mete out punishment for sins. He will not do that. Not those who were committed by the child of God. Those will be wiped away. Rather, the judgment seat of Christ is a place where rewards will be given or they'll be lost, depending on how each one conducted their life inside their followership of Christ. I guess you could say that this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is when the second shoe drops for believers. That's when the second shoe is going to drop. I pray that none of us will have lived deceived, thinking not only will the other shoe not drop, there ain't another shoe. Gang, God wrote it down for us. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Like I said, there are two judgments ahead. The last judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. All right? This judgment is not for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is not, you will not, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've humbled yourself, come to him, say, I need you. I want you to wipe away my sins because of what your son did on the cross. If you've done that, this is not for you, the Great White Throne Judgment. Instead, this is for those who, while they were on the earth, refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They refused. They refused to give him their lives. It says so in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now this judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment, this sounds an awful lot like the one we see in 2 Kings, doesn't it, with the Baal worshipers. Gang, God is not dead. God is not lax either in his justice or in his indifference to our actions. Instead, God is patient. Now, I know that I have camped out a long time on this first point tonight, but I believe it is of the utmost importance. If you are here tonight, and I don't know if it's your first time here or your 100th time here, if you are here tonight and you cannot mark the moment when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you, not anyone else doing it for you, when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and asked him to become your Savior, accepted that gift. If you cannot mark that moment, I would encourage you, do that tonight. Do not assume that you did this. If you are unsure, please, do not be deceived into believing that the other shoe will not drop, because it will. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed for man and women to die once, and after that comes judgment. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and pray with me for a minute. Lord, we've gone through some pretty serious subject matter in just a short time. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move on hearts, And if there are any tonight who haven't made the commitment to move away from the great white throne judgment, I pray they would do it now. That in the quietness of their heart, they would say, Lord, I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Let his work on the cross be the payment for my sin that I accept through faith. Put your Spirit inside me and guide me forward and receive me as your new child. Amen. We have gone through one point. I have two more. The first one is good. The second one is not so good. But we're going to look at them anyway. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 says this about Jehu. You have done well in following my instructions to destroy the family of Ahab. This is God speaking. Therefore, Jehu, your descendants will be kings of Israel down to the fourth generation. Ah, that is good. Point two, Jehu's family had the longest reign in Israel's history. Jehu. Theologian Matthew Henry wrote this about the dynasty of Jehu. He said this, this was more than what took place in any of the royal families of that kingdom. Of the house of Ahab, the evil house, that whole family continued but about 45 years in all. Whereas Jehu continued for four generations besides himself. In all, reigned for 120 years. What an incredible gift these four generations after Jehu received. They had a godly superhero ancestor. The story of Jehu's zeal would live on long past his years on earth or on the throne. Man, I wish I had that. I wish I had a super role model in my family in the past that could be looked back on and that could be revered with awe and admiration and amazement. But God has not allowed that. He's not allowed that to me. Instead, you know what God's doing? He's calling me and you to be that superhero. We're the ones. You and I have the opportunity to be the patriarch, to be the legendary hero who sets the tone for his family's zeal for God, so that generations after us will serve God, serve him vigorously, and serve him by living righteously. Instead of looking at what we have not been given, or looking at what we have not done right in our lives, instead, it's all about what we are willing to be, what we are willing to do right from this day forward. That will establish our legend forever. Yesterday, I watched a Liberty University service. They have services three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And in this service, they talked to Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly was interviewed. Now, you may not know who Jim Kelly was, but he was a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and he took the Buffalo Bills to four straight Super Bowls. He quarterbacked that team. They're an amazing little team. He took them to four Super Bowls. And Jim Kelly talked about what caused his longing to follow God. He talked about what was his impetus for accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior after his football career had ended. He said this, I saw my two teenage daughters slowly losing respect for me. and I knew I had to change. Because I wanted my girls to esteem me, and I wanted them to admire me. And I knew I had to follow God. And I had to be a man who had true faith in God and was living rightly. That day, Jim Kelly started becoming his family's spiritual superhero. He is living with zeal for God today. He has built and he continues to build his dynasty, his superhero spiritual legend. His daughter, Erin, beautiful girl, goes to Liberty University. And she was interviewed as well. In her spare time, she's written a book about her father's vigorous faith for God. Titled it, Kelly Tough. Gang, that's what I want to do. I want to be the one who shows my family how to trust Jesus even in the dark times. I want to be the one who shows my family how to live rightly and not let any unwholesome word come off my lips. I want to be the one who shows my family that following God's word leads to life to a fullness and a joy. I want to be the one who shows my family that compromise in any area of our lives is not tolerated. I want to be that superhero that shows my family how to have a marriage that's a partnership. It's characterized by oneness, where a father is revered and awed, and where a mother is loved and cherished. I want to be that one that shows my family that when God asks us to do something, we do it with everything we've got, all through the power of the Holy Spirit he puts in us when we ask him to save us. I want to be that legend. I want to be that legend that the great-grandchildren that I will never meet know about. Where children to the fourth generation will write papers and write books about their godly superhero ancestor who lived with zeal for God. You and I may not have received a legendary superhero in our lives, but you and I are called to be that legendary spiritual superhero role model to our families and our friends. I want to close tonight with one final point. One last lesson to learn as we leave Jehu. And it's from verse 29, and it's a warning. Verse 29 of chapter 10 says, Jehu did not, however, destroy the gold calves at Bethel and Dan, with which Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had caused Israel to sin. Verse 31, Jehu did not obey the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. At about that time, the Lord began to cut down the size of Israel's territory. King Hazael conquered several sections of the country. In all, Jehu reigned over Israel from Samaria for 28 years. Point three, Jehu set the bar at 95%. Jesus told us this, "Be ye perfect." And that is what we strive to be. Will we be perfect? Not until we see him face to face. But Jesus does not say, be righteous 95% of the time. He doesn't say that. Jesus does not say, follow what you like that I say. Follow what you like, but not all of it. Jesus shows us that the way to life, a life of joy, a life of happiness, a life of fulfillment, cannot be found by following a percentage of the instruction manual he left for us. Any percentage won't work. Recently, my garage door opener broke. I couldn't believe it. A mere 16 years was all I got out of this garage door opener. So after trying to patch it back together, realizing that's not going to happen, I said to Kelly, I'm going to Home Depot. She just shook her head. She knew this is going to be costly. So, of course, I only look for one thing. What is the most powerful, super-duper garage door opener you have? I don't even want to see anything less than your most powerful. I want one that will raise the house if it gets stuck. So I found the garage door opener. I said, okay, took that thing home, tore the other one down, start putting a new one up. I opened the instruction manual. It just keeps folding out. Very odd the way this thing was. It just kept folding out. Oh, step 1 through 20, right? All right. Step 1. All right. I did it. 2, 3. I'm doing good. I get to like step 14. The thing is up. It's there. I'm basically there. I got, only get to get step 20. I'm at 14. I got it from here. No more instructions. I know how to wire it. I know how to do that. So, just left that part of the instruction manual aside. 3 days later, Kelly said, the garage door's not working. Yikes, what did I do? Went right back, and I knew where I had slipped up. I'm getting a little bit smarter, and I found 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. I fixed that. Garage door opener is working fine now because I followed the rest of the instruction manual. That happens in our spiritual life. That's exactly what happens in our spiritual life. We can't ignore any part of what God is calling us to do. You can't leave any of it out. It's like our life is a wine barrel. Let's see if we get a pick. There it is, a nice wine barrel. Now that wine barrel is built with slats that run top to bottom. The full slat runs top to bottom, and they're all around there, right? Now, if this is an illustration of our life, this is our life that God fills with the life he wants to have for us. These slats stand for the instructions that God has given us. For instance, one of those slats could say, train up your child in the way they should go. Train up your child in the way they should go. Full slat. Here's another one. Another slat right next to it can say, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God. That's another full slat. That's good. Maybe another slat as you're going building this barrel says, don't worry. Don't worry. Cast your cares on him. That's a full slat right to the top. Maybe another slat says, honor your father and mother. That's a full slat. Right top to bottom. It goes on and on and on. We have these slats that God has given us, all these instructions. Remember, 1 to 20. He gives us all the thing, and you got the barrel. And God will then pour the life that he has for us into that barrel. But if we decide that we don't want one of those slats to the full extent, we cut it off. We cut it down. Well, then God's life for us that he's pouring in can only go as high as where we've cut that slat off and it spills out. It only goes to the height of what we've said we don't want to go any further with God. That slat is cut off halfway. For instance, if one of our slats, let's take this one. If one of our slats, this is what God tells us. God tells us that we should be equally yoked together with our mate. Equally yoked together. And it's talking about being equally yoked together in our spiritual life and our spiritual commitments. We need to be with a person who wants the same things we want spiritually. That's the full slat. That's what you look for. But some people decide that they don't want that. They want to cut the slat off. They don't like what that says. So they cut it, decide to leave off the part God says, and they remove the spiritual compatibility standard that God told us to set. And then they wonder why God is not filling their life with good. Why am I not to the top in the harmony that I should experience? Why am I not experiencing the happiness? And how come my life does not function? They don't realize that because they did not follow what God said completely, they sabotaged their life barrel. Because it can only go as high as the slat they cut. Gang, God's instructions are not that hard. They're not that hard. Come on. They're not. Jesus told us that. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He said, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God does not ask you and me to rid the world of cultic idol worship like he did with Jehu. Instead, God says that our mission is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. He calls us to cultivate an attitude of joy, not an attitude of complaining. It's not a hard thing. It can be worked at through the power of the Spirit. He calls us to trust him. Trust him for everything. And be at peace with what he will do. He calls us to be patient. Let God establish the timeline for things. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to be good. He calls us to live with a demeanor of gentleness. He calls us to live this way long term, till the end of your life. To be faithful to our call, and to cultivate the ability to control ourselves, all through the power of the Holy Spirit he gives us when we ask him to save us. God's instructions are just not that hard. So, we close tonight. The Bible has presented us with some questions. Questions that we can think about as I ask the band and worship leaders to come back. Ask yourself this question. Maybe this one fits you. Have I been deceived? Have I been deceived into thinking that there is no consequence to the life that I am living? If you think there is going to be no consequence for the life you're living, you've been deceived. And the Bible says you can't mock God. Or maybe there's this question. What kind of life am I modeling for my family? What kind of life am I modeling for my friends? And the last question, am I being careful to not compromise or to not ignore the instructions that God has for me? If God has prodded your heart tonight in anything that was said or seen or worshiped, talk to him about it as we finish tonight with one last song where we can worship him and do some business with God. Lord, it's refreshing to get to a story in 2 Kings for a man who followed you with zeal. I pray that this church would be filled with followers of you who love you with zeal, who give you everything. Help us not be fooled by the smoke this world blows at us, telling us that this is the way to live and we know it's nonsense. Let us not be deceived. Let us look to your word on how to live and how we are to conduct ourselves and where we find life to the full. We can be those legends, those superheroes that our family will talk about throughout the ages. It starts with us obeying. It starts with us being what you've called us to be. It calls with us embracing you, spending time in our relationship with you. And I pray that through the power of your Spirit, you'd help us do that. Let it be that if there is another book being written, let the chapter that talks about our life be one that's successful and that may just finish by saying they accomplished all that God asked them to do. They let their light shine. And their families reigned for years with Jesus Christ because of what they saw in their ancestor. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.